Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. Our guest today is Mark Bertha, the president and CEO of Hard Rock Sacramento, the casino owned by the Enterprise Rancheria and managed by Hard Rock International. For Mark Bertha, it seems like he was always destined to work for Hard Rock International. That company's corporate culture fits Bertha's experience and philosophy toward operations like a glove. His previous experience with companies like Mirage Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, Marriott International, Starwood, and Station Casinos was prologue to his hiring to run the Hard Rock property in Northfield, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. He quickly made that Racino the most successful property in the state, and that success attracted interest from MGM Resorts, which purchased the property in 2019. Bertha went on to develop the Hard Rock Sacramento for the Enterprise Rancheria tribe in California, which he speaks about in this episode. He spoke with me from his office in Sacramento in June. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Mark Bertha. Mark is the president and CEO of the Hard Rock Sacramento. What do they call it? Fire Rock as well? Or
Fire Mountain, yes. Fire Mountain. Fire Mountain.
Well, it's great to have you here, Mark. You know, we followed your career for all these many years, and you've been a very progressive executive. And I knew when you finally got charge of it, well, in Casino del Sol, you did a great job as well down there. So I knew when Hard Rock chose you, it was definitely a great opportunity for you and for them. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's really a privilege and an honor, and I appreciate it. And you know, enjoy all the publication, everything that you have going on out there, and Roger. So I appreciate this opportunity.
Okay, great. So this is this is your second opportunity in Indian gaming with Casino del Sol. You know, I remember meeting those tribal members down there, and they were just so glad that you were there, and you were there in the construction of the expansion there, and you did a great job. I really enjoyed it when I got to stay with you down there. So, but your casino now is owned by the Estim Yumica Maidu tribe of the Enterprise Rancheria, and the people usually call it Enterprise Rancheria, correct?
That's Enterprise. Yep.
So it took many years for the casino to get approved and built at that location. Why do you think they picked Hard Rock as the casino operator, and how was your relationship with the tribe?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, it took literally 20 plus years for them to bring this vision to life, and they went through a number of developers. At the end of the day, you know, Northern California is a great marketplace. It's a competitive marketplace. Right. I think the things that really made the Hard Rock decision, you know, a smart decision on both sides was clearly the power of the brand. You know, it's a international brand that everyone knows and really enjoys. And automatically you think of Hard Rock, you know what kind of experience you're going to get. Right. So that really stands out as a draw for people here in the marketplace. I think the management, they evaluated a number of different management teams out there. And clearly Hard Rock has an impeccable success story and a history of really doing great things. Obviously, you know, was able to run our property in Cleveland for quite a while, and that went really well. And then I think, you know, what was really unique about this one compared to some of the other deals that have been out there, and particularly with Hard Rock, this was a tribe to tribe relationship. You had the first one really of its kind, where you had a tribe on the East Coast, Seminole tribe, of course, of Florida. Mm-hmm. And a tribe on the West Coast, the Enterprise Rancheria tribe, working together to create this landmark destination out here on the West Coast, representing the Hard Rock brand, but really bringing two groups of people together to do something that, you know, hadn't been done before and really try, you know, change the game. And they have a lot of shared stories and experiences. So there was a natural connection that was built there almost from day one when they met.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, the relationship between the Seminoles and the Enterprise tribe must really make this arrangement that much deeper.
Yeah, it makes it very special. It makes it very special for me to have, you know, the opportunity to sort of, you know, be a steward of that relationship and watch it grow and continue to perform and excel. And so it's very fulfilling for me, very redeeming for the tribe in that sense. in the knowledge that they made a great decision. And, you know, now we're coming up on Nobera's fourth anniversary this fall. And we've done a lot of great things, and even in a short time. So that really, really resonates. We actually just had CNIGA out here, California Indian Gaming Association Conference, a number of chairs from all over the state, and they had a great experience out here. So again, this has really become a landmark destination in the state of California and for Hard Rock and Enterprise.
Well, I think your operation there influences the, there's a tribe in Southern California that has also brought the Hard Rock management team on, correct?
Yeah. In fact, I just had dinner with the chairman from Tejon recently, Octavio, and great group of people down there. Another opportunity for Hard Rock to continue to grow now in Southern California, right in the Bakersfield area. That project will hopefully be starting up sometime soon, but going to be really a game changer down there in that geography, a great partner for us up here. And so it's another exciting opportunity for a tribe to work with a tribe, and for Hard Rock to continue to, you know, sort of do what we do best.
Sure, absolutely. So the tribe actually seems to understand, however, the value of the casino, you know, goes far beyond revenue and allows tribal leaders to plan for the future. As they always say, you know, the seven generations that they're actually working for. So you know, what have they done to establish, you know, that principle for their tribe at this point?
Yeah, I mean, this tribe, the Enterprise Rancheria, has made a very strong commitment to their people, clearly to the community. I think it stands, you know, to say that they've really been, you know, raised the bar on that expectation. I mean, clearly the casino is an economic engine. There's no question about that. It really sets the foundation for everything that they need to do from an infrastructural perspective, you know, whether it's investing in their healthcare, providing housing, providing jobs and economic development, in that sense, a tribal development program and training. You know, all of those amenities and tools are out there, including employment for tribal members here at the property. But mostly important thing, I think, is it allows them to start to begin their business diversification process and looking at additional opportunities to, you know, expand the casino, to add on other ancillary businesses, to continue to have their tribal members involved in the business that we're building, whether they're learning it or involved in the management or the operation of it. It really sets a very firm foundation for them to continue to build off of and, you know, reinvest in the property, reinvest in themselves, and really share the wealth of all the hard work and the vision. And to your point, I mean, seven generations or more away, this property will be here and will continue to provide that relief and support and great experiences, obviously, that will continue to make them successful. So they've done a great job in laying down that framework, working with a Seminole tribe and using even their experience for decades about how to do these things correctly over time.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned you've been with, you opened 4 years ago, but you've been with the operation before that. You had a role in the construction, design, and hiring of the employees. So, all Hard Rock casinos, most of them anyway, have that something that they consider the wow factor. Do you have that in Sacramento?
Oh yeah, we have a lot of wow factor around here. It's California. Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate. You know, I've been with the company for almost 9 years now, and spent half my time in Cleveland with the Roxino property there we had, and the other half of my time now out here in Northern California. It's been a great run. But yeah, I mean, Hard Rock has a very unique recipe for how to build and design and build and then operate these types of properties. I mean, we put a lot of effort into design. We literally, you know, the color palette is like bringing the music to life in that sense. It really creates a vibe and an energy that, you know, is really hard to duplicate out there. It's the lighting and the music and the videos and the energy that's created on our floors. You walk in, the minute you come in the doors, you have that sense of arrival, that wow factor, that real, you know, kind of warm hospitality feel. Then you layer in, of course, the memorabilia and all of the different artifacts. It's almost like being in a museum in that case. But then the energy of the games and the food and beverage and all the entertainment that's going on, I mean, it really has a unique feel. And, you know, I think Joe Emanuel, who's our leader of our design and development, you know, of our architecture and construction team, you know, has done a really great job working with our corporate people to create something that, you know, really resonates around the world. And, you know, when you say Hard Rock, like I said earlier, it automatically stands out you sort of know that energy, that experience, that excitement, the wow factor that you're going to get when you walk in. It's just every location you go to has a little bit of a different, you know, delivery of that product and that experience, which makes it fresh too and exciting.
Yeah. So I went on a press junket to the Guitar Hotel in Florida when it first opened, and we got the opportunity to tour their warehouse facility where they have all the memorabilia. Who chose the memorabilia for your property, and do you focus on some of the local artists that made it big?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. If you got to go to visit the vault, then you're one of a few there that have had that experience. And, you know, we've got tens of thousands of historical pieces that have been collected over decades now. And we have a really talented team in Florida led by Gio Talaferro, who, heads up all of our memorabilia. And they put a lot of effort in working with the local teams and the design element, trying to bring the property to life with that unique hard rock flavor. And so, you know, whether there's world-class artists that we have over here, like Alex Van Halen, or Eddie Van Halen. I mean, Eddie Van Halen, we have his motorcycle, we have his Frankenstrat, we have Beyonce's dress, we have Elvis, one of his suits. I got to throw in a Pearl Jam item that, one of my favorites, of course. Got to bring that into the property. And so, you know, you have all of these iconic artists, and they're, you know, like I said, there's tens of thousands of pieces of memorabilia that we have out there to choose from, and they really implement them on a worldwide basis, depending on, you know, sort of the clientele that we're catering to. But then to your point, there's a whole local sort of regional facet to it as well. So out here, we have a whole wall in our Hard Rock Cafe that's designed with some of the regional and local iconic artists like Stevie Nicks, who's from the region, Johnny Cash, who you might know, this Folsom Prison thing, Folsom's like 45 minutes from here. And so there's three there, and Cake, and, you know, a bunch of other artists that we have some of their memorabilia in the property that really gives it the property has an international kind of world-class flavor, but then that local sensitivity that people walk in and go, I saw them right here in San Francisco or in the Bay Area 25, 30 years ago. So they do a fantastic job bringing all that to life.
Yeah, I can see some dead stuff in there too, right?
We have a banner in our Hard Rock Live that has that, actually. Products. So, yeah.
Okay. So just as important as the facility is, a building, it's even more important to build an effective team. And I know some of the guys and gals that you hired, on your upper staff, but you really want to get it for your line employees as well. So what are the common threads that go through, all the employees that you hired from your senior staff down to the valet parker?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And honestly, it's quintessential in everything that we do. When I got out here, I was excited. I was the first person on the ground 5 years ago now. And I was hopeful that, you remember that time. I was hopeful we get maybe 5,000 people to apply for about 1,100 positions, 1,200 positions when we open. I was blown away. We had 33,000 people apply for our 1,200 positions when we open. Yeah. And, I think at the end of the day, the secret weapon, honestly, in our business is always the people. It's the culture, and the Hard Rock culture is, almost second to none. Sure. For 50 plus years, we actually just celebrated our 52nd anniversary, a few days ago. The history, the legacy, the culture has been really, really powerful. 50 plus years of great hospitality, providing amplified service and authentic experiences that rock. But, one of the key ways we do is really hire people for their personality. Clearly having experience is critical. We can train people for these roles as well. And it doesn't matter whether you're an executive level or, coming in at an hourly or mid-level management role. We hire people for the personality, for their passion for wanting to deliver hospitality, for their love of really, providing their authentic self as part of the experiences that we deliver. And, it's really a very, unique sort of set of tools that we implement to find those right people and then give them to some degree, the free rein to really put their fingerprint on the different experiences that we deliver here. And that's not an easy thing to do, but quite honestly, if you can do it effectively, which I believe Hard Rock does, it's really a differentiator on so many different levels. And then, we've done a great job with, focusing on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and really expanding our programming there, making sure that, we make a commitment to our people, all as one, love all, serve all. It's as equally as important to our guests as it is to our team members. And we treat them in a manner where they feel respected and they have the ability to grow their careers and be successful. Again, doing it in a way that they can personalize and really customize for the customers as well. So,
to make it even more difficult, you opened in the midst of the pandemic. How did you handle that? I mean, obviously, I know in Atlantic City, they really took care of their workers by giving them, food cards from the local food supermarket. How did you handle it out there?
Yeah, we did a lot out here as well. Our corporate office did a phenomenal job putting together our Safe and Sound program, over 100 pages of learnings from around the world about how to take care of our team members and how to take care of our guests when the time came to reopen our doors. And there was a lot of learning curve, I can tell you that. We were the first hotel casino to reopen after we had shut down during that whole time period. But we did a lot of things. I mean, we literally paid every team member in the building who wasn't in the building for over 10 weeks, sitting at home, taking care of their families and each other. We paid them their full wages. We paid them the full benefits. In many cases, we provided gratuities. If they were earning gratuities like a table games dealer, they continued to earn their table game gratuity, even though we didn't have one guest in the building. We did food cards. We ran, stuff out to our neighbors, literally down here in the street, people who live in the community, and brought them, checked on them for, just making sure they're okay. We did a lot of training and a lot of other things that ensured that we worked with the community, the local, municipalities, the health, the chief health officer here in the region, just making sure that we had everything in place to reopen correctly and then continue to, execute on these programs, a Safe and Sound program predominantly, and make sure that, we took care of our team and our guests. And they were really happy to come back. They felt safe. They felt like it was clean, secure. We made $500,000 investment in a Synexis system that literally provides hospital quality air purification and cleaning here, kills viruses and bacteria, 99%+. I mean, so that was the tribe who, again, really believed that it was the right time to be doing all of the right things and set the example for everybody in the region to ensure that we had a program that, was as dialed in as it could be.
Right. Great. So let's talk about the market. Tribal casinos are generally local casinos. They usually get about 90% of their business from within a radius of 20 to 25 miles. Is that true with your property?
Yeah, on some level. It's been interesting to watch, the last 3.5 years, kind of how our business segmentation has changed. I think clearly, a large portion of our business is coming from, a roughly 30 to 45 minute, drive time radius. And that's to be expected. We have some big, suburban and even urban areas, right around the greater Sacramento DMA that we pull from. But here's again, what I'll tell you is, probably another reason, again, why the tribe selected Hard Rock. We've got 12 million people within roughly a 3+ hour radius of our property, especially with the Bay Area. And then you get out to, even Tahoe and Reno areas going to the east side. But what really stood out is, when I got here, I was hoping in the first year we'd maybe have 5% of our guests coming from that, greater outer market, kind of a 2-hour+ radius. And we had 20% of our customers in the first year, our visitors coming through the property that were from those outer regions, which again, right. it's the power of the brand. It really stands out. I mean, obviously we have a world-class destination here. We have amazing amenities, great service, but at the end of the day, I think what really drove a lot of that is, again, people knew, oh, there's a Hard Rock Casino in Sacramento area. Let's go check it out. Let's go literally drive on a Friday night, leave the Bay Area at, 7 o'clock at night, get there around 9:30, play, eat, have fun, whatever, and drive home at 3 o'clock in the morning because we really wanted that Hard Rock experience. And we knew what it was going to be. It was world class. It was something unique in the marketplace. And so, we've been able to really manifest, a customer base that is, literally outside of what you and I know is more of the normal sort of local regional model. We've had people coming here from Europe and and South America, again, because they love their followers of the Hard Rock brand, and they visit them all around the world. And so we had a guest here who was on our, we were his 400th Hard Rock location that he visited, you know, about a month or two ago.
Wow.
And he came from Europe. So, I mean, yeah. It was amazing, you know, and he was excited to be here as much as we were excited to have him. So it was really cool.
Right. So do you use other methods to attract? Obviously, the Hard Rock experience is an important edge for you guys. But do you use, you know, things like tier matching, you know, cash back, those kind of attractions?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of the traditional programs that you'd find out there. When we opened up, we had a tier match program. It did really well for us. And a lot of people to kind of identify, you know, with our property and walk in feeling like they had a commitment from us that we would service them to the levels that they were expecting. Clearly, we have unique amenities and services and programming here. You know, we obviously do a number of the free play and all the typical reinvestment free bet, a lot of the special events and a lot of things that you would expect here. You know, we have a full advertising program. So, you know, in many ways, we do a lot of the things that, you know, I guess other, you know, operators out there will do. One of the things, quite honestly, that's been a real driver for us recently, of course, is the opening of our Hard Rock Live venue. And, you know, we're getting a large portion of people coming to these shows that have never been to the property before. And they're walking in here and going, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm going to see my favorite artist. It's an amazing facility. I had no idea on some level that this was even here, you know, and they're having a great time. And then, of course, they're coming back here to enjoy it again. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's lots of tools that we all use to bring people in. But, you know, what's critical is giving them that experience when they do arrive and then ensuring they have the opportunity to come back again. And that's the core of, you know, our business and, you know, long-term success.
Right. So, of course, as a music-themed establishment, entertainment got to be a key to attracting these players. And so tell us about your showroom, which is Hard Rock Live, right? Some of the artists you've had in there, you know, since you started.
Yeah, we've had a great run. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary, if you can believe it. And hopefully you'll get up here for a show. I know I've invited you. So one of these days. But it's been a great run. We opened up our Hard Rock Live venue. It's 2,500 seats, world-class design, you know, from acoustic panels on all the wall treatments, you know, fold-in, telescopic seating. Sino Plus was our designer on it. They're a world-class entertainment venue designer. And it's really got a great intimate feel, high quality. You walk in there and you see Dolly Parton's outfit or Garth Brooks or, you know, the Grateful Dead or even Pink Floyd, you know, some memorabilia from them. We've got some great second level mezzanine experiences with skyboxes and a VIP meet and greet area. But, you know, most importantly, it's an intimate experience. You can't get a bad seat. You're not more than 100 feet away from the stage, right, no matter where you are. And we opened up with Maroon 5. This year we kicked off with Pitbull, sold out show with him. We had two Sting sold out shows recently. Tonight, we literally have Earth, Wind & Fire performing. We have Diana Ross sold out tomorrow as well. We have Halsey coming in. We've had a lot of new up-and-coming artists like Hardy, who's a really well-known country performer. We've had Sabrina Carpenter, who's more of a Disney, you know, younger artist.
Right.
You know, so we really cover a lot of different genres. We really provide a very, you know, broad spectrum of entertainment. You know, we had Chris Rock, we had Mike Epps. I mean, we've had the comedy side. We had Matt Rife coming. So we really cover all the different sorts of entertainment experiences. And what's great about the facility is not only does it provide great shows, we're going to have about 80 shows this year, and probably 2/3 of them are going to be sold out at this point. We're tracking really well. We were named Best New Venue nominee last year, Venue to Watch by Pollstar and Billboard. But we're also able to use the space flexibly. We've had charity events in there, and we've had, you know, we work with Beale Air Force Base and have a number of their events in there. And it's even programmed that if there were ever, God forbid, you know, a crisis in the region, it's designed because the tribe really wanted to make sure we had a facility that supported the community, again, to be a relief center if needed. So, you know, it's flexible. It's a great space, but it's really gives us another tool in our arsenal to really attract people and give them, you know, these authentic experiences that rock.
Sure, absolutely. So you mentioned you gave back to the community during the pandemic, and I know the employees usually drive that kind of stuff. Did you find that in your operation up there?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you would even ask that, because going back to why is our culture so powerful, you know, take time to be kind is our mission statement when it comes to philanthropy in the area. And I think people are attracted to Hard Rock because we walk the talk. You know, we talk about love all, serve all, and take time to be kind, save the planet, all of these things. But we go out there and do that. We have a culture club, which is a group of our team members that lead other team members on these different activities. And they've done a great job engaging and energizing our workforce here with all kinds of different activities that really benefit the community. So since we've opened up, you know, a little almost 4 years ago, we've donated almost $2.5 million in charitable donations and in-kind gifts and all kinds of things we've done here in the community. You know, from supporting the American Red Cross during a lot of the fire issues that have happened up in Northern California, building a Ronald McDonald House room down at the, by the UC Davis Medical Center. They've got a Ronald McDonald House there. Our big flagship is Pinktober. We do a lot with breast cancer research and awareness and support. We did a $100,000 donation last year to the Ride Out Adventist Hospital here in Marysville, literally 15 minutes from here. We're going to have our big event again this October. That's a company-wide initiative that we all really take a lot of pride in. And I think, again, that's why the tribe selected Hard Rock. That's why we continue to raise the bar and just, you know, really be there for the community, whether it was COVID or all these different initiatives that we've had out there. We continue to make sure that we take care of our neighbors and our families and people who are here in the region, when they have the need. And I think people really appreciate that. And I think it resonates on so many different levels and just makes us proud of the things that we do, you know, outside of even just the work and you know, the day-to-day stuff. So
sure, absolutely. So what's next for Hard Rock Sacramento? Do you have expansion plans, more hotel rooms, more meeting space? What's coming up?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I mean, we just finished our expansion with our Rocktane gas station and some office and meeting space and, of course, Hard Rock Live. And again, this was literally almost a year and a half after we opened. During a pandemic, we're expanding the property and adding this phase two. And it's gone off really, really well. It's been very successful for us. I think we're taking a step back now to reevaluate the marketplace, to hear more from our client base, our customers, and understanding what they want in the next, you know, phase of expansion. You know, the tribe has a multi-phase, you know, vision out here. This is a long-term investment, which benefits their tribal members and benefits the, you know, the community here. So I think clearly our hotel is extraordinarily busy. So I think more hotel rooms in the future is going to be needed. I think there's more gaming space and programmatic things. We don't have bingo or poker right now. Those are things we're considering for the future. Obviously, if California gets it right one of these days and passes sports betting and online gaming, we'll be adding those amenities to the property. There's other things like spas and meetings, more meeting space. We've got 10,000 square feet. I think we need more of that in the future. So there's clearly a lot of opportunity to continue to expand as the, you know, the demographics continue to increase here and more homes are being built in the area. More and more people are coming to the area. The other unique thing about where we are here in Sacramento at this property, there is a 900-acre sports and entertainment zone that exists that we sit right in the middle of. And the tribe is making a commitment to purchase additional land here with the idea and the vision to, again, you know, expand not only the casino, but to bring world-class destination sports, entertainment, you know, and regional types of products to the area that are sorely needed. And so I think, you know, the focus now is casino on one hand, what do we do there to continue to grow the business and provide the amenities and services we need? And then this other regional destination, you know, landmark sort of product that we can bring, you know, over a few hundred acres or so, to really, you know, continue to diversify their businesses, expand, you know, the amenities and services and create something world class that we can attract people from all over the country, all over the, you know, the world in some cases. So there'll be probably more coming on that in the future. So they're keeping us pretty busy out here, and it's exciting. I mean, you know, we love the development space. We love the operational space, but being able to create these types of experiences on so many different levels really just keeps everything so intriguing and interesting and, you know, and challenging to say the least. So, yeah, so it's good. Absolutely.
side. No question. Well, it's a shame you guys didn't build a stadium for the Oakland A's, you know. Not by far, you know. Instead, they're coming to Vegas, so I guess I can't complain.
Yeah, well, it looks like, you know, between the Golden Knights and literally football coming from there. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of great things going on in Vegas. I love my 20 years there, and I'm so happy to see the city do so well. And, you know, it's great for the evolution of Las Vegas. And so, yeah, it looks like they're going to be heading out that way. We still have the Giants, so I think we'll survive. And we have the Kings right down the street, or Sacramento Kings. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's all good. It's all good.
Well, Mark, thanks for taking the time to fill us in on the progress up there. You know, once I'm able to, I want to get up and visit you because, you know, I've heard such great things about you, and you really can't evaluate a property until you see it in person. So as soon as I can do it, I'll be there.
Well, you know, you always have an open invitation. I truly appreciate this opportunity to catch up with you as well. Love being on the advisory board for GGB as well, so I appreciate that. And thank you for all the great things that you're doing, keeping us all educated and communicated and abreast of everything going on in the industry. So congratulations to you too, Roger. We appreciate it, so thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll be in touch. We'll stay in touch and continue to fill people in on the exciting things happening at Hard Rock Sacramento.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.